Hello, listeners. It's me, Ryan Nanny, coming to you from an extremely iced over Nashville. Do I have my podcast mic with me right now? Nope, sure don't. Godfrey and I have been scrambling this week without power and with lots of children not in school, so a few updates before this episode. Number one, if you are a paid subscriber, you still have until the end of Friday, January 30th, to respond to our end-of-season college football fan survey. It should be in your inbox, but it might have gone to spam, so check there. We want to hear from you, and we're going to break down the results in a future episode. As always, if you're not a paid subscriber, you can change that by going to phantomisland.show and signing up for a membership today. I will make sure I get you the link to the survey if you sign up in time. Number two. There will not be a Friday subscriber episode this week because of aforementioned weather and power issues. We're sorry, we're gonna make it up to you down the line, and we trust you understand the challenging conditions that have broken our streak. Number three, I wouldn't say I was looking for an opportunity to test whether Homefield's sweatpants, hoodies, long-sleeved tees, and socks could steel me through multiple days of no electricity during sub-freezing temperatures. And to be clear, I am not recommending you only wear Homefield in the elements because that's not what they're designed for. But I can report that if you are looking for something warm to layer under your snow pants or waterproof jacket or to just change into after you are done clearing a ton of ice off the top of your car, my personal field testing shows that yes, any number of items from Homefield's collection will do. I can report success with items including a Rutgers Scarlet Knights hoodie, a pair of St. Peter's Peacocks joggers, and a University of South Florida long-sleeved t-shirt. Yeah, I have a confusing wardrobe. It's fine. But seriously, get the ice off your car before you start driving around. Don't be a jerk. All right, without further ado, here is this week's episode, which, appropriately enough, is all about the limitations of winter weather.
Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord, or leave me here.
Roger Sherman, welcome back. Once again, frequent visitor, frequent guest, frequent friend and contributor to Phantom Island. We are here to talk about the Winter Olympics, which I assume means we're going to do a full-fledged preview of every event, who's likely to medal, and what's going on with the Italian hockey arena that's not finished. Am I right? Am I close?
They only had to build one arena.
They probably didn't know. Surely they had no heads up that they would need a hockey arena for the Winter Olympics.
It's all like, well, also this will sort of get into what we'll talk about later, but like there's kind of only one team sport in the Winter Olympics. It's hockey. It's like mm-hmm. it's the biggest, most relevant thing that's going on. And most of the arenas in Italy were already built, or they're using venues from previous games. And some of the venues are just like, well, there's a mountain, you know, you've got a mountain. We did the job there.
Yeah.
They would just needed to build the hockey arena, and they're cutting it pretty close, which, you know, you hear that story a lot ahead of the Olympics. But
are you saying it's bad that they're having to fill like watering cans to take them onto the ice to fix it?
Running out on the ice. It's, you know, I'm not the person of Italian descent on this show, so I won't comment on what this says about Italy.
You know what? I have never built a hockey arena, so maybe I am the failure. Maybe my failure to step up is what the real problem is here. Yeah. I didn't do anything to fix the problem.
But yes, I am prepared. I've been studying Norwegian cross-country skiers for months, waiting for this exact episode just to talk about that with you for the next hour. So why don't you get us started?
Perfect. All right. As always, Phantom Island is brought to you by our friends at Homefield. Phantom Island, these Wednesday episodes are themed around a question. I don't know exactly how to phrase this question, but let me take a stab at it and you can tell me if I've done a good job. I think the question we're going to mull today is, should the Winter Olympics add more sports outside of its existing framework? Does that roughly sum up what we're addressing?
Yeah, or just like, what is a winter sport?
Yeah, okay.
Like what makes a sport a winter sport? And it turns out the Olympics has a distinct definition that might not that does not necessarily correlate to the season of winter.
Okay. What is that definition?
So according to the Olympic Charter, only sports which are practiced on snow or ice are considered to be winter sports. And okay. When I think of maybe football is a fall sport, but we definitely play it on when it's snowy outside. Like when I think about the sports we played in school during the winter, it's, you know, basketball. It, like a lot of indoor sports we get to around this time of year, but those sports go into the Summer Olympics because mm-hmm. they're not specifically played on snow or ice. Really, it's less about the season when the sport is traditionally played and more just about like the surface on which this sport takes place, which is why I am proposing water Olympics, just all water.
Can I give you the NCAA's list of winter sports, at least according to their championship schedule? I'll give you a few of what count here.
Let's hear them.
Let's see. We've got indoor track and field. We've got women's swimming and diving.
That's definitely in the Summer Olympics. We're 2 for 2 so far.
Uh-huh. Fencing, that's a winter sport according to the NCAA. Wrestling, men's and women's basketball at multiple divisions, and men's and women's gymnastics. Now, there are, like, ice hockey is considered a women's sport as well, a winter sport as well. It's a women's and a men's sport. Skiing, that is also a winter sport. But the NCAA's approach to what's a winter sport is much more, I would say, calendar-based. And that makes sense because they're not holding this every 4 years. It's like, okay, when do we have so many championships that we have to manage. How do we sort of parcel them out? But it does sort of like take away a little bit of the, well, if you're not playing it on snow or ice, it couldn't possibly be a winter sport. A very stubborn organization, much like the Olympics, has managed to see a different perspective on this question.
I mean, it makes sense from both perspectives to a certain extent, but it has absolutely shaped the way the Winter Olympics look. They're at where they can be held, how many athletes can be in them, how popular the Winter Olympics are,
because
there's a lot of very niche sports in there, and there are people who are trying to change that.
What are the changes that they're trying to put forward?
Well, this is sort of something that's been talked about for years, but they're specifically pushing it towards the next Winter Olympics, which will be in the French Alps in 2030. There's a proposal from essentially the International Track Association, World Athletics, that would try to put cross-country into the Winter Olympics, like cross-country running, mm-hmm. Which is actually not a winter sport, according to the NCAA, but it's a sport that you can do outside when it's cold-ish. You're running across mud and dirt and grass and other sorts of non-paved surfaces.
Right.
It's not a current Summer Olympic event. There's another event that's talked about being added to the Winter Olympics is cyclocross, which is essentially the same thing but with bikes, you know, biking over mud, dirt, grass, staircases, stuff like that, occasionally having to carry your bike uphill. And these are not events that take place on snow or ice, but right now they're not in the Summer Games. They're practiced by people across the world. And there's the push from the people working in track and in cycling to say, hey, what if you put these events into the Winter Games since they're sort of winter adjacent?
Now, I can see one potential concern, I guess, from the Olympic side is like, well, if we start to blur, like, do the Winter Olympics, I guess I should say, do they have this like very strong sense of like, we have to hold the line. They have to be snow and ice events, because if we don't, we risk sort of becoming the home for, yeah, anything can go in the Winter Olympics. There's room. And as long as you can sort of like do it in these months, as long as it's not impractical to do it in these months of the year, why not? Like, is that part of what's going on here?
It's so what you're saying is it's a slippery slope argument.
I didn't even realize I was doing that, but yes.
It's just funny because the Winter Olympics people love slipperiness and slopes, sometimes combined. But yeah, so I have this quote, which is a response to the 2030 proposal about cyclocross and cross-country running, which is from Max Cobb, the American Secretary General of the International Biathlon Union. And he says, in response, if they were super popular sports, they would already be in the Summer Games, and they're not.
Damn!
And there wasn't anybody thinking, oh, what a good idea. We're all scratching our heads. He like I don't know, just kind of dunked on this entire concept, and says, if there are to be new sports in the Winter Olympics, they should come from the family of snow and ice sports. I just like the idea of them all like having no idea why this was proposed. It turns out that there are some reasons that this gets proposed.
Okay. Do we want to get into those reasons, or do we want to get into, here, it's my show. I'll decide what we're going to do, because when you sent me sort of like the outline and the basic research for this episode, you had one instruction for me that was appended with, I will get so mad if you do this. And you said, do not look up how many sports are in the Winter Olympics. And yes. I will tell you, I have not done that. I haven't even really sat and like tried to count. I haven't engaged with this in any meaningful way. So
the Summer Olympics are way bigger than the Winter Olympics. Like I used to think, before I thought about these events seriously, like covering them as a journalist, that like the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics were like essentially two halves of the same coin, like mm-hmm. kind of the same, you know, they're the two things. Yep. They're basically the same thing.
But summer and winter are equal in length. Therefore.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But the Summer Olympics are just so much bigger, so much more popular globally, and just a much more complete event. It's 11,000 athletes from 204 countries were in the 2024 Olympics. There were 329 medal events in 32 different sports and 48 disciplines, which is like Olympic speak for like volleyball and beach volleyball. They both count as volleyball, but they're two different disciplines.
Okay.
So 300 opportunities to win a gold medal, 32 sports, 48 disciplines.
Okay.
How many sports do you think are in the Winter Olympics? And feel free to like run down the list of Winter Olympic sports you can name.
Okay. So we have hockey.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna go in broad categories, and then understanding that there's like subcategories we need to get into. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not gonna be confident which ones are disciplines and which ones are different sports. Okay. Hockey, speed skating, figure skating, curling.
Nailed it. You're crushing it so far. You haven't named anything that's not in the Winter Olympics yet.
Snowboarding.
Yes.
Skiing. This is where I'm really gonna like skiing. I know has like a variety of forms, but I'm just gonna say skiing to be safe.
We'll talk about this, but yes, all the skiings count as just skiing.
Okay. In terms of the sport. Skiing. Yeah. And then there's the, what I would just call the sledding events, which are things like bobsled and skeleton and luge.
They're actually great. You're doing great. You're crushing it.
I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting, and I'm going to be mad. Like ice dancing probably counts as ice skating, like within figure skating, if I had to guess. Biathlon. We talked about biathlon. So that's got to be a separate one, right?
I got to stop you.
Okay.
I got to stop you. You did it.
Okay. But how you many? I don't think I said more than 10.
There are 7 Winter Olympic sports.
Okay. Compared to 32 in the summer.
Compared to 32.
Okay.
And they're split into 15 disciplines. So skiing, like you've got cross-country skiing, downhill skiing, freestyle skiing, ski jumping, also they somehow count snowboarding as a type of skiing.
That's fine. I get it.
Figure skating, speed skating are both skating, and yeah, we did it. We covered all the Winter Olympic sports there are.
So like, if you can win 329 different, if there are 329 medal events, how many medal events are there in the Winter Games?
There are 109, so about a third as many. And that also, you know, there's just not as many people participating. Instead of 11,000 athletes, there's about 3,000. Instead of 200 plus countries participating, you have 90, and a lot of them are just sending like one person. It's really heavily dominated by, you know, countries with mountains, countries where it's cold. And that obviously limits how popular the Winter Olympics could be. So many of the world's largest countries, growing countries, are places where it's literally impossible for you to partake in these sports. There's not a lot of variety. A lot of the sports, like we mentioned, are pretty repetitive. You know, there's three different ways of sliding down an icy track: bobsled, luge, skeleton, all the different types of skiing, and it's just there's much less variety. There's much less to get interested in and excited about.
Okay. This feels like a thing that the Winter Olympics would not necessarily want to maintain, a status quo that would not necessarily be desirable, because my very general understanding of people who run big sports organizations is they want them to be bigger. They want them to be more popular. They want them to appeal to more countries, more demographics, more market share, whatever. So I'm a little lost as to, I can understand why maybe if you're the Winter Olympics, you're saying like, hey, cross country and cyclocross are not going to meaningfully move the needle. But I feel like if I'm the Winter Olympics, I would potentially have more interest in sort of expanding what these games are and making this like a bigger event for more people. But I have a feeling you're going to tell me that that's not actually the case whatsoever.
The pushback specifically is from what you'd call the Winter Olympic Federations. And like we said, there are just seven of them, as opposed to over 30 for the Summer Olympics. And so it's true. This keeps the Olympics a lot smaller. This keeps the Olympics a lot, it limits the amount of countries which are interested, the amount of TV people which are paying for broadcasting rights, the amount of tickets you can sell. Basically, everything is going to be smaller. But right now, the way it's set up is that money goes to the International Olympic Committee. And so they had, for the Summer Olympics, $590 million to distribute out to all of the various international federations that are involved in the Summer Olympics, of which there are 32. And for the Winter Olympics, they only had about $200 million to distribute. But they're only giving it out to those seven federations that we talked about. So the share of money that they're getting, if you're a Winter Olympics federation, is actually larger than some of the largest sports, even in the Summer Olympics.
So do you have an example of that where we can sort of say, yeah, like, okay, yes. Yeah.
So for the Summer Games.
Yeah.
Again, in 2024, the IOC is distributing $590 million. I'm going to give you the figures that were released for the 2016 and 2020 games.
Okay.
The biggest organization, World Athletics, which we talked about, they're the people behind that are trying to push cross country into the Winter Olympics. They got about $40 million for track and field. The second tier of sports, FIFA, volleyball, tennis, they got around $25 million for the 2016 and 2020 games each. And the next level down, $17 million. The next level down, $15
million. Okay.
The Winter Olympics are smaller, but the biggest sports at the Winter Olympics, hockey, skiing, and skating, each got $40 million from the 2022 Winter Olympics. So that's literally as much as the largest federation at the Summer Games. And the sort of niche sports, bobsled, luge, skeleton, biathlon, each got $20 million, which is less than like they're paying out to basketball, but more than they're paying like a lot of pretty well-known sports from the Summer Olympics, and definitely more than all of the ones that like command that level of interest. So it is beneficial for these Winter Olympics games to sort of gatekeep and prevent the games from getting bigger.
So I want to sidetrack us briefly here to talk about basketball specifically. Basketball is a sport that is casually brought up. Like, I found an old article by our colleague Tom Ziller that sort of said basketball should be a Winter Olympic sport. He's not the only columnist who's done this before. And I think some of it is, you know, especially over the years as The National Hockey League has embraced the Olympics as a thing that's part of its calendar. Hockey and basketball in the United States roughly follow the same, like not exactly, but they sort of occupy the same calendar for us as consumers. And I think there is some question of, whereas like the Summer Olympics kind of don't fit very well with the NBA calendar in a lot of ways. And so this is a very long way of saying, like, is there anything to the idea of, like, let's take basketball specifically, a sport that, unlike track and field or tennis or soccer, is not subject to environment, like, weather concerns at all. These are all, we're all, like, with the understanding that in very early Olympics, we did play basketball outdoors, and it was a bad idea.
Yes.
So what we're always going to do this in an arena. The places that host the Olympics are always going to have the, like, there's nothing particularly complicated about a basketball facility that makes like, oh, I don't know if we can bid on this or whatever. Is there anything to the idea of like, well, let's move basketball to the Winter Olympics as sort of a balancing act of something, or as a way to sort of like make the Winter Olympics a bigger event worldwide?
I think you get pushback specifically with basketball because it has like the wealthiest players and the wealthiest teams, and they're not going to want to send their athletes in the middle of the NBA season to take part in this. Like, I feel like that's part of why it was such a hangup for the NHL. Like, you're asking us to give up, to add extra wear and tear to our players right in the middle of the season for not a lot of benefit. But I can imagine a sport like volleyball or another one of these sports that takes on a higher profile during the Olympics. Like, imagine if one of those sports were to be dropped into the Winter Games, and all of a sudden it's like kind of one of the biggest events out there, like right up with hockey. Like, I can see that being really beneficial. And again, you would grow the amount of interest across the world and the amount of people watching your sport and also watching the Winter Olympics, and it could help it grow for everybody.
3-on-3 basketball is another one that's sort of been like, 3-on-3 basketball, obviously a much newer Olympic event, but that's another one I've seen thrown around as like, well, maybe we should move this to the winter. Doesn't draw from the same talent pool and doesn't necessarily have the same concern of like, oh, we're going to be asking NBA superstars to step away from their team and potentially risk injury. And this, you know, it's a little bit different, and potentially also has the chance of getting a sport that I think for now on the Olympic level is getting way overshadowed by traditional 5-on-5 basketball and giving it more of a spotlight in the Winter Games potentially.
Yeah. Like those are the types of things I'd try to get into the Winter Games if I were pushed. But it's also these things, like, I think that is where sort of the idea for where they pitched cross country and cyclocross. Cause like, so you're the track and fields people. You already dominate this big chunk of the summer games with, you know, all of the many track and field events, the 100-meter dash, the shot put, and you just
don't have... set the high jump record over and over and over and over. Repeatedly.
I don't know why the second one I said was the shot put. That's not like
the... It's fine. It's
I love the shot. Yeah, I love watching our big boys throw that big rock.
Yeah,
it's like so offensive lineman coded. I love it. It's like so many offensive linemen throw the shot at high school, which is why we dominated, I think. But but there's just no more room for them to add an event like cross country, and like cross country is, you know, popular across the globe. It's an NCAA sport. It's not something that has like a high barrier to entry. You just have to run, and they just can't squeeze it into the summer games. And it kind of makes sense that these sports federations look at how crowded the Summer Olympics are and look at how kind of sparse the Winter Olympics are and think, how can we scheme up another version of our sport that we could hypothetically argue should be a part of those games, since it's so much easier to kind of squeeze in there. Like, the story of the Summer Olympics is like, we don't have space for all this stuff. We have tried cramming 32 sports into 2 weeks in one city. Like, we can't build all the venues for this. I mean, the Italians are having trouble building
the but like the LA Olympics, they're going to send, like, softball is going to happen in Oklahoma City.
Because yeah, they had
like, that's got to go that way.
They had to put surfing in Tahiti. A lot of the times when there's a sailing event, it's like at a place that has an ocean. If it's, if your city is not literally on the water, there's like also this big lineup of like sports trying to get into the Summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. Like that are bidding every 4 years, like, please let us in. They've kicked sports out. They had to kick out baseball and softball. Like, we had the breakdancing incident. Everyone wants to get in. But then you look at the Winter Olympics and it's like literally every sport that is played on snow or ice is in the Winter Olympics already. They haven't added a new sport since 2002 when they added skeleton, which looks just like bobsled and luge and is exactly the same. They have a new sport this year for the first time since then. It's called ski mountaineering, or skimo if you're cool, which is just like skiing uphill and like climbing a mountain and sort of doing a little obstacle course with your skis. So that it's like the first time they've added a sport in decades. And it's this niche sport that no one's ever really heard of. And meanwhile, like you're making baseball and cricket fight each other for spots in the Summer Olympics. And those are a hugely popular sport in America and a hugely popular sport across the world. And it's like, there's just this obvious disparity. You've got to figure out how to get things. Also, skimo is just another type of skiing. We already have six of those. They already have six different things that are on skis.
Yeah.
And like a couple days ago, another story I'm doing, I interviewed this guy named Joey Mantia, who's one of three Olympic medalists in speed skating from Ocala, Florida, which is what should I know about Ocala, Florida?
Okay. Ocala, Florida is just outside of Gainesville. Number one, number two, most people, if you know Ocala, you probably think of it as horse country. Like, there's a lot of equestrian training and horse business going on there. It's not like, Winter Olympics, prime area by any means.
So these guys developed as like inline skaters, and Joey Mantia won like 20 something world championships in inline skating. And I asked him, like, he was like, I would have loved if I could just have done that, just done inline skating and become, you know, won Olympic gold medals that way. But there's no room for inline skating in the Summer Olympics. And there's not just speed skating in the Winter Olympics. They do regular speed skating and short track speed skating, which is where they all crash into each other and fall over, and where that Australian guy won the one time. So this might be like, this was kind of a roundabout way of answering the question, but like you've just got this numbers game where the one Olympics is so jam packed. And if you could just draw people's attention to like one aspect of your sport or somehow find a way to trick them into letting you into the Winter Olympics, you could get like so much more attention, because people do think of them as relatively even events, even though one is huge and one is tiny.
I think there's also, I feel like it would be remiss to not note that I think both Olympics deal with any sort of like international game event at this point deals with challenges of like, climate change impacts how we put it on, where we put it on. The Winter Olympics feel particularly pressed by that. And it seems like the more you can add sports that are either in an indoors climate control environment, or in the case of cross country or something like that, something where you're like, it's okay if there's not snow. It's okay if there's not ice. Like, as long as it happens in wintertime, everyone's going to be fine. It's not going to be a big deal. That feels like it's a useful hedge of sorts, where you can sort of say, yeah, now we don't have to be out here making snow while it's hot and hoping that it works in some regard.
Like the IOC has studied this. They've looked at climate change. They've said that by 2040, one third of the places where you can currently host the Winter Olympics will not be able to host it anymore. Like, just
and there are not that many. There are not that many places we've hosted the Winter Olympics to begin with.
It's already limited to places with mountains and places with snow.
Yeah.
And you're talking about these events literally becoming, you know, infeasible. And Something I didn't realize until I was talking to some of the people who are covering the, like, the Winter Olympics in Italy. Like, when I covered the Summer Olympics, you know, it's all in one city. But for, like, any Winter Olympics, like, this event will be on this mountain and this other event will be on this other mountain. And if you're covering one of the sites in Italy this year, like, it might take you like 7 or 8 hours to just drive to one of the other venues because mm-hmm. you're going on these windy mountain roads in Italy, and it's going to be winter, and there's always complications with driving on roads in winter. And it just, there's so many parts of the Winter Olympics that are infeasible, inaccessible. And I mean, even as is, you're talking about sports that only a small percentage of the world's population can access because of how rare they are.
Are you telling me that Cool Runnings misled me as to what it takes to compete in bobsled?
I mean, honestly, pretty accurate sports movie. Like of all of the sports movies that have ever been made, you know, on a scale of The Last Dance to Air Bud mm-hmm. in terms of Cool Runnings is closer to The Last Dance.
Okay.
But like there are only I looked this up specifically. Do you know how many luge and bobsled tracks there are in the world?
In the whole world?
Mm-hmm.
50? I don't know. I have no idea. I've never seen one. I've never been on the highway and said like, oh, luge track, exit here. So I'm just guessing blindly.
There are 17.
That's not 50. That's way less than 50.
Most of them are like at former Winter Olympics hosts. And there are more blimps.
like Goodyear blimp? There are more. So blimp.
There are more.
So we could, you're telling me it would be easier to create some sort of blimp-based Olympic event than it would be to do something involving a luge track.
And look, the Olympics are my other proposal.
I'm really setting you up for things I don't even see coming on this episode. It's great.
That's two wonderful. For two.
That is two for two.
Can we just end it?
No, because I have one important thing I need to push back on.
So okay, let me hear it.
You have, I think one of your points is that we're sort of tapped out on winter sports. We've done the winter sports. We have like skiing in its various forms. We have skating in its various forms. Here's hockey. Here's the sledding sports. Here's curling. We're good. There is, I think, one reasonably prominent winter sport, snow and ice sport, that we have tried at the Olympics a few times, but is not an Olympic sport and has not been tried in now 30 some years.
Honestly, I'm excited.
Sled dog racing.
Wow.
Sled dog racing is the one we're not doing.
So first of all, I'm already on board.
Okay.
It is weird how like, they do equestrian at the Summer Olympics, but not horse racing.
Yes, sure.
I don't know why horse racing is like
tawdry.
Yes, yeah. It's like it involves a track. But yeah, I mean, look, the Olympics are definitely lacking on dogs. There's never been a dog in the Olympics, and there is one in Air Bud, so we've got to work on that for sure.
if you're thinking like, okay, we want to be marketable. We want like things that people, the Olympics, and some people really like this and some people really don't. The Olympics are very much about like narrative storytelling because they have to sell you in many cases on sports you don't follow, athletes you haven't heard of or haven't been paying attention to. I'm not saying this is true for everybody. Obviously, there are people who are deeply invested in what's, you know, the US figure skating team this year or whatever. But to the general audience, it's a lot of like, hey, let's get to know these people because it's not like football where you have heard their name and their story beaten into you for 15 years already. If you're going to do that, and if you really want to appeal to like people who are like, oh, the Olympics, like dog seems like such a layup. Look at these like cute, strong, loyal, powerful good, like, dogs that work as a team and have a bond with their musher. And like, I don't know, just if I'm a TV producer and I'm just like, how can I get an event that I can definitely chop up into good social content and people will like talk about on the Today Show? Like, you can bring the fucking dogs on the Today Show at this point. Dog racing does feel to me like a huge missed opportunity. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy. I understand that like dog races are long and involved and they often get like kind of grim, but it's still dogs. It's still like beautiful dogs.
You could put the little gold medals on their little necks.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, I've also, one of the things that I think about a lot for really no reason is that when that after Balto delivered the like serum to the village,
yes,
they just brought him around to stadiums across America and yes, people like paid to go cheer for the dog.
Yeah, here's this cool dog. And like, look, these are hard times, but if we had some sort of like, if we could officially have an American hero dog that we could say, mm-hmm, like, here is what this dog did for our country on the world stage. I think, like, who's going to be mad at that at this point? Who's going to turn around and say, like, this sucks and I hate it?
There's just, so you and I have proposed several mediocre to bad ideas on this show.
Yes, that's one of our charms, but sure.
It strikes me as, like, the Winter Olympics can't really have that many bad ideas right now.
Sure.
Because the reasons that you would want to expand are so obvious. And I mean, like, we mentioned the climate change thing as like and this also, but it is somewhat of an existential factor for a lot of these sports. And right now, the primary concern of many of these, like, many of these federations seems to just be holding on to keeping the Winter Olympics what it is right now, with this relatively small set of sports that are played by very few people across the world, and hoping people tune into it because it has the rings and a good song next to it. No. And I feel like if we started an international dog sledding federation, I can see us in the Olympics, like, within the next like 25 years.
Yeah, I think that's like, entirely possible.
We'd have to figure out like a format that you could do it. Like, maybe we're having him do laps instead of go across the entire,
instead of going for hundreds of miles. Sure.
Instead of having them go to Nome, Alaska.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll have to work on the animal welfare aspects of it.
100%. Sure.
I feel like a lot of the dogs die in the Iditarod.
It can get dicey. It is a little, it's a hard race. It is a hard race for everybody involved. Like, there is a reason they have rules on like what you're supposed to do when you encounter a bear on the trail, like what's allowed, what's not allowed. That's not something we're used to dealing with. Like, that said, if you told me biathlon, but now there are bears, boy, am I watching that. I'm 100% watching the biathlon, but there are bears now.
I wasn't actually like that off though. If you go to the list, to the Wikipedia page for winter sports, and it lists every winter sport, and like dog sledding is one of the few that is not in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of the other ones, quite frankly, I'm not sure are real.
Okay.
Like ski joring in here, ice cricket. I don't believe that ice cricket is real, but it is to a certain extent tapped out. And the thing about this idea of putting these two sports that are not able to squeeze into the summer games, cross country running and cyclocross, like, it seems like a good idea, but it's so funny because like you look at the reasons why it's being pitched, and it's pretty blatantly because those summer federations, the cycling and the track federation, want some of that Winter Olympics cash that's being hoarded by the Winter Olympics Federation. And like, so you're like, oh, that's bad. I want them to kind of defeat that proposal. But then you look at why the Winter Olympics people are pushing back on it so hard, and it's because they want to hold on to the, it's like, not like, I no come away kind of
this with like pure intentions, really.
Yes. Yes. Which again, our dog sledding proposal, entirely pure intentions.
Yes.
Just like
about
the dogs.
It's just about the dogs, the beautiful dogs. I don't understand what people have a problem with that. Roger, before I let you go, is there anything that you are particularly looking forward to or excited to sort of like pay attention to in the upcoming Milan Cortina Winter Olympics?
I'm still not sure where Cortina is, but I'm pretty sure it's a home. Pretty sure it's a mountain, one of those mountains that everybody is going to be stuck on. My number one thing is I want to see there was a fun to watch NHL hockey players competing best on best competition for the first time in a while. And as we mentioned, that's something like if you actually got like more team sports in the Olympics, no offense to curling, which I think you could count as a team sport, but like if you got some sports with like famous athletes or that like that I have actually seen people play in my life before, that would be nice. And I think the NHL players returning to the Olympics is going to be great. I am kind of excited to watch those Schemo events, the new sport in the Winter Olympics, because there hasn't been a new Winter Olympic sport in over two decades. There was a scandal with the Norwegian ski jumpers who were adding fabric to their crotches in their uniform.
I didn't know what the scandal was, and I definitely would not have guessed that that's what it was. So thank you for that.
Yeah, they like it's to like make a like make themselves into a big parachute.
Okay, gotcha.
So they stay in the air for longer. This is like the biggest story in like Norwegian sports history. Like wow. It's like they're very mad at each other.
National shame.
Suspensions and medals. Yeah, because it's a really big deal up there. I'm so curious to see whether the people who were like caught in that scandal are like going to be good at ski jumping without the big crotch parachutes.
And if people want to read more about these Olympics, the other sports that you cover, and other crotch related malfeasance, where can they find your newsletter, Roger?
It's sports.beehive.com. That's literally it. It's sports.beehive.com. The name of the newsletter is Sports. And we're going to be doing a post every day about the Winter Olympics and about what happened and about looking a little bit more into like these events that you probably have never thought of or covered, or at least haven't thought of them since the last Winter Olympics. I'm really capitalizing on the fact that the Winter Olympics are so niche and weird and you haven't thought about them and they are so difficult to sell and to explain. Like that's where I step in. We're going to be busting our ass to cover every day of the games and do the best Winter Olympic coverage there is.
I believe in you, Roger, and I'm counting on you. So thank you. Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber. Our theme song is also called Phantom Island from the album of the same name by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.